already?
They'll still show up, but the person will be able to press agree. That wasn't enabled. Those two weren't enabled.
So at what point?
I'm just curious.
That's when it.
Yes. Cause it is a big deal.
I don't think it's gonna be good.
It's hard to tell people down there. Now it's a big chance to be.
Well.
All the places.
Well, a lot of people, as you saw, it was.
Yeah.
They stopped at a little bit.
Never met, no.
No, it was like nonstop. He, when he closed, suddenly.
Right. But you don't have to go over that.
His dad.
What do you like?
And then he decided.
Part of our problem too is getting issues out. So what our tour, our life has meant in the 1960s means something different.
Loud thing I said is the zoning regulations. Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
And then the players are like.
So that's all.
Yeah.
So the land use, the general plan's been updated three times. Third times.
But then COVID will last till 1989.
So.
Yeah, the term theater.
So did you watch that? So like.
71, they still are earthquake.
In that, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
My top issue, but I was not.
Yeah, they were over. Tuesday, we left two in the morning, like passing out.
What I. It's a. It's that one topic, but. Where do you want to. So this is. See, I have. Called. But then.
That's really.
And so we. Single family. Minimum.
How many people do we have in there? One person from Lincoln.
Does that.
Yeah.
Well, it was all. One day.
She's the one taking the house.
Yeah.
They were changing, they were changing.
This being brought up, it's very reasonable. I'm sure. YouTube site, you can see.
Okay.
So.
Oh, cool.
The underlying zoning. Would definitely. This is the plan, is that what you're saying?
Well, the general plan is the 89.
She gets started.
Right.
Well, is anyone on the WebEx?
Which is a single plan.
Great.
It's on yet now.
Didn't bring it down.
Well, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many.
Is this one, do you, I have one, and then do you want one?
Yeah. Yes.
But in, but in the zoning issues.
If that's possible.
You have to aim in the same. So you didn't have any. Okay, so you get a better point.
Where do you want me to stand back there? Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
But there are areas.
Okay.
Flat.
Here.
Why?
Yeah. And then maybe, yeah, if someone can just help me, like, give them the mic if they have questions.
Yeah,
okay, cool. I can see back there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll just move right here. Are we good to go? Should I get started? Is it cool if I get started? We're gonna get started. I don't think this is working. Can you hear me on this mic? We do. We can see people.
Oh, I know we recorded this, so we do need it. Here we go. This will be able to talk to you about
the. Does mine work? Does this sound like it's working? That one is working. Volume up.
And this one is. Oh, here we go. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening. My name is Rachel Diamond. I'm the Community Development Director at the City of Ventura. And tonight we are here for the Environmental Impact Report scoping meeting for the general plan update. This meeting has been in the works for quite some time and is an important step that we need to take as we move forward with starting the Environmental Impact Report for the general plan. And so I appreciate everyone's ability to join us both in person and online and have this conversation with us about what it is that we need to look at when we're studying the environmental impacts of the general plan update. So I'll keep it very brief. I will add one thing. I know we've had a lot of comments on the land use designation map, and we had an open comment period that ended last week. I just wanted to announce that we've received quite a few comments and are really appreciative of all the comments that people submitted. And now we're working, staff is working to synthesize those comments and respond to all of them and get through all of them, make the changes to the map, and then we'll put out an updated map with another comment period to give people another opportunity to review the map and to provide additional comment. And we'll also have different formats for commenting than we did before. I'll have some open office hours where people can come and talk to me directly and sign up for a time slot or just show up in my office. We'll also have some maps that are available for people to mark up. I know there were concerns about the technology getting in the way for people to be able to make comments. So that should be coming, an updated map in June, and we'll have, again, an open time period for people to review that map again. And so tonight, we're not really focused on the map itself. We're focused more broadly on talking about the content of the notice of preparation and moving forward with our EIR. So I'm going to turn it over to Lexi Journey from Rincon, who is our CEQA consultant for the city. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rachel. And thank you all for being here today. As Rachel said, this meeting...
Is it working now?
There
we go. So hello again, my name is Lexi Journey from Rincon Consultants. We are in charge of completing the environmental impact report for the general plan. And fun fact, Rincon Consultants was founded in the city of Ventura in 1994. So this year is our 30th birthday, which is exciting. So this meeting is to develop the scope of the EIR. So the environmental impact report, or EIR, is necessary under the California Environmental Quality Act, and as part of that act, it is required that we conduct a scoping meeting before we start the EIR so that we can hear people's thoughts, concerns, comments of what should be evaluated in the EIR before we start it. And so I have a very short presentation to give a little bit of background about the scoping meeting and the topics that are included in the EIR, and then we can jump into your comments, and we'll be recording all of those comments here in person and online as well to make sure that we have them for the record for the EIR. So if we can go to the PowerPoint presentation. Perfect. Can we go to the next slide, please? Yeah, there we go. So again, the purpose of the scoping meeting for the EIR is to inform the community and agencies about the general plan environmental impact report. So there is this 30-day scoping time frame that we have right now that started May 1st and goes to May 31st, where everyone in the community has the opportunity to provide comments here in the meeting or written, and I'll provide more instructions for those comments at the end, as well as local agencies. So Fish and Wildlife Service, Caltrans, they have the availability to comment as well. And so we will gather input at this meeting on the different topics covered in the EIR, and then we'll describe the overall timeline for the EIR as well, so you know all the different timeframes that you'll have to input on the EIR. Next slide. All right, so just some quick housekeeping items before we get into the rest of the presentation. This is being recorded for the record. We would like to have all comments in writing if possible, but we'll be taking your comments here as well for the record, and we'll do that at the very end of this presentation to open up for comments. Next slide. So for this meeting, I'll go over very high level the general plan update. You are probably pretty familiar with it because the city has been working on it for a few years now, and there's been a lot of engagement around it, but we'll just do a quick overview of the environmental review process as well, and the schedule, and then we'll get to the comments. All right, so for the general plan, this map here shows the location that the general plan and the EIR will be looking at Ventura city limits and the sphere of influence. And if you go to the next slide, that's just zoomed in a little bit more so you can see those city boundaries and where that sphere of influence is located. And so this will be the project boundary of the EIR. And these are the different topics in the general plan that we'll be analyzing in the EIR. So these will be distributed throughout the general plan in the different chapters. So general plan will discuss land use, mobility, parks and open space, conservation, public facilities and services, also safety, noise, environmental justice, economic development, arts and culture, historic preservation, and then there'll be a chapter around climate change and sustainability. And the city also completed a climate action and resilience plan as well last year, which is online. So that will be included in the environmental impact report. And we'll also be evaluating the implementation actions associated with the general plan. And so this is the land use map as it stands right now with the general plan. You've probably pretty familiar with this. If you've been tracking the general plan, the yellow and orange colors highlight the residential areas throughout the city. The purple is the mixed use, so that's residential and commercial. The orange areas are the red areas, are the commercial areas, and then the gray, industrial, and blue are public services, hospitals, schools, and green is parks and open space. So you can see how here in Ventura, we have all those different land uses very well distributed throughout the city. Next slide. All right, so that was the overview of the general plan. Now to go over the environmental review process and purpose for it. So the EIR will be to identify potential environmental impacts and how to avoid or reduce those impacts. That is the first thing that we look at. And then once we know that level of potential impact, and we can't reduce it within the general plan itself, then the next step is we develop mitigation measures and we look at other alternatives for the general plan to reduce environmental impact. Other purpose of the environmental review process is to disclose those environmental impacts and the levels to the community and the decision makers. And again, it fosters that interagency coordination for public review and enhances public participation in the overall general plan process. So these are the required environmental topics that we'll be analyzing in the EIR. As you can see, there is a good number of them. So we'll be looking at aesthetics, agricultural resources, looking at potential impacts to air quality, biological resources, cultural resources. We also evaluate energy, geology, greenhouse gas emission, hazard and hazardous materials, as well as hydrology and water quality. We look at potential land use planning impacts, noise, population, housing, public service and recreation, transportation, and a couple newer topics are tribal cultural resources and wildfire. And then we also look at potential impacts to utilities and service systems. This is the overall required environmental review process. So the city prepared what is called a notice of preparation that lets the community know that we are starting this environmental review process, and it starts that 30 days to be able to provide comments of what to evaluate in the EIR. So that's where we are now, and that deadline for comments will end at the end of this month, May 31st. Once we have those comments, we will draft the EIR. Once the EIR is drafted, the city files what's called a notice of completion to, again, a public announcement that the EIR is available, and then there will be another public comment period on the EIR itself. So you'll be able to read through it and provide comments on that. And then we get all of those comments, we respond to them, we'll have written responses, and then we'll post a final EIR where you can see the comments, the responses, any potential changes that occurred in the EIR, and then the next steps are to finalize the EIR so that decision makers have it to make a decision on the project. So this is the timeline that we have. Again, the NOP was posted May 1st. So that's when the public review for, or the public comment period for comments right now started. Today is the scoping meeting that's required. The 31st is the last day to provide a comment on the EIR scope. And then we'll be aiming to draft the EIR for public review in fall of this year. We will get public comments after that, and we will post the final EIR and responses to comments in winter, and then looking toward city hearings on the decision for the general plan and the EIR in spring. And that is one more slide. Perfect. So now we get to go to the part where we talk about any comments of things that you would like us to evaluate within the EIR. For folks online, if folks have a comment, there is a raise your hand icon that you can use, and we will call on you to provide your comment. Also, folks online, we appreciate if you could mute yourself unless you were talking, and anyone making a comment, if you could identify yourself and if you have any affiliation before making your comment. We have a pretty small group today. It looks like only a couple people online and a few people in the room. So I think we can, you know, if you want to have five comments to ask questions or make a comment, we have time for that. And then one more. Perfect. And if you have a comment in this meeting, but you have additional comments or you know other people that would also like to provide comments, this is how you can submit a written comment. You can either send it via email to Rachel Diamond's email, which is rdiamond@cityofventura.ca.gov, or you can mail it into this address as well. And that is it for the presentation. Now we get to go to the part where we discuss folks' comments and discuss the EIR. Rachel, did you have something?
Yeah, thank you so much, Lexi. I think what we'll do next is if, pretty informally, I think we have a list to speak, but if you haven't already done so, put your name on the list. You can just raise your hand if you're in the audience. And then similarly, we'll go to our WebEx. Why don't we maybe rotate between the two to give that opportunity for our WebEx people to kind of weave in. Let's see if anyone did sign up for the sheet. Amy Cherry, you can be our first speaker. And so we do have 3 minutes, but there will be an opportunity to have more of a conversation as well, particularly because of the small nature of this group, that we can have kind of more popcorn session too. But we'll give everyone their 3 formal minutes and then go from there.
Here we go. Oh, boy.
Right up here.
Yeah, thank you. Mine's more a list of questions to be answered.
Okay.
Firstly, Amy Cherry, speaking for myself, what number are you studying, like the impacts of how many units? Is there an actual number that we have for that? I'll get my answers later. Obviously, views and the scenic quality of the hills and everything is part of the vision statement, so I'm sure that would all be covered under the aesthetics. And I'd like to see the alternatives for those when we get there. I know there's incomplete elements, circulation, and the LCP update. I'm assuming those will be held till the end when they are done, so you could study those. Will the LCP have its own EIR, or will it be wrapped into this? If it's in this, does this EIR go to the Coastal Commission for review, or is the LCP going to have their own EIR that will be submitted with the LCP? I think utilities are required to be underground from now on, so that was already answered by myself. Alternative, stormwater, I don't know, I just have that's kind of my list of incoherent questions.
Yeah, I can start to answer some of those.
All right. Oh, exits and off-ramps. Will those be studies as part of the circulation and transportation? Thank you.
Thanks.
Lexi, if you want to take some of those questions now, I think it'll be helpful. This way we don't lose some of that. And then we'll see. Yeah, no, that was great. Thank you. And then we'll tee up for WebEx. We'll go next to the WebEx, and then got it?
Yeah.
Do you want to go ahead?
Sure. I wrote some.
Let me know if there's some that I missed. So for the number of units, I believe in the general plan, we're at 3,700 units about for housing. And those are going to be based off of the SCAG, which is Southern California Association of Governments forecast for City of Ventura. So we look at that and then evaluate that with the land use map to make sure those growth projections still map what's being proposed in the general plan.
And so as that map gets updated, the study adjusts as well. So we're not frozen in time today. This is the start of that process. And I think you had mentioned previously as well that there, some of the draft elements haven't been released yet. They're not done in any way yet. And that's why this process happens before we're done with that draft, to start working on through some of the impacts. And then as things start to solidify with the draft, as it may adjust some of the study of the EAR and some may not.
Yeah, we evaluate the existing general plan has already gone through environmental review. So we look at what's changing in the general plan, but then we look at it cumulatively throughout the whole city and the environmental impacts that would have throughout the whole city. So yeah, there's a cumulative impact section for each environmental topic. And then I think you had another question about the vision statement. So that will be included in the general plan and the EIR, as well as the alternatives. I know that the city has done some outreach around different alternatives for the land use map. So we could potentially use those in the EIR alternatives, but there might be some other ideas that have folks have come up with throughout the meeting. So that's something that we're still deciding, or what are those different alternatives we'll be evaluating in the EIR. And I think the last main question that I wrote down was the LCP, and if it has its own EIR. So the city is starting to work on the LCP as well, but it's not going to be on the same time frame as the general plan. So that sounds like you know about Coastal Commission, LCP. It takes a lot of back and forth. So the plan is the general plan will be adopted before that, but the LCP will be highly based on the new general plan, what's adopted, and then the LCP actually isn't required to have an environmental impact report. Legally, that back and forth with the Coastal Commission and their approval acts as the environmental compliance needed in California. Yeah, were there any other questions that I missed? Big ones, at least.
On-ramp, future roads, especially if we annex Sataquoi, how are we going to tie it all together? But I'm assuming that'll come with the transportation element.
Yeah, so it is in the transportation element, you're correct. And then we have the transportation section of the EIR, which we will be evaluating that. So the different types of criteria that we look at are what's called level of service, which is where we look at potential traffic impacts. And then we also look at vehicle miles traveled, so the increase of miles traveled in general due to the changes in land use, with which impacts are related to greenhouse gas emissions, air quality, noise. And then we also look at emergency evacuation as well as part of the transportation. So those on-ramps, off-ramps, and looking at neighborhoods that only have potentially one way in and one way out.
Just as an aside, all the emergency evacuation work is being coordinated with the two other emergency evacuation processes that are happening right now through the police department and through the county. So we're all coordinating to make sure that those all work together and make sense. So I know there was a raised hand, but we're going to take one WebEx commenter, and then we'll come back to the audience. So thank you. No, we don't have anyone? Okay. Well, thank you to the WebEx people. We'll move on to the audience. Would anyone else like to speak? Do you want to come up here and be on camera, or do you just want to
Okay. Here you go.
Kathy Bremer, Ventura. Mm-hmm. I thought level of service was kind of old school and replaced by vehicle miles traveled. And you just mentioned you were going to analyze transportation.
Yeah, you're right in that it's not technically required under CEQA anymore to evaluate level of service, but we find in most communities that people still would like us to look at it.
Love for you to look at it.
And we do have local thresholds related to levels of service, and that's why we continue to study that. So in preparation for the change over to VMT, we generally still do both in this community because they are very different data points to look at.
Thank you. First of all, what the number you gave us, 3,700 units, you're studying the addition of 3,700 units?
Yeah, I haven't been as involved in the general plan, so I can probably check if that's the exact number that we've landed on.
Because Arena is 5,300, right?
Sorry to take it back. I just want to make sure I'm on. Yes, that's correct. And we're talking about, based on SCAG's growth projections, how that projects out. So I know those numbers aren't the same. The 3,700, so we already have, so the 3,700 is the change from the existing general plan to the current general plan. That doesn't mean that we don't have capacity for our RENA allocation, because we already have, that's a delta of new potential, but we already have existing potential on the ground, and that's where a lot of our RENA sites inventory points to, right? So, for example, if you have a site today that allows for 100 more units, that's something that we counted towards our site's inventory, and we made sure that we have the capacity to accommodate RENA, and that exists within our existing general plan today, and then will also be accommodated in the new one, and then there's additional units on top of the existing general plan. So there are two different calculations, but the RENA is accommodated within that. It's just not changing. We don't need to add our entire RENA amount to our existing general plan to accommodate it because we already have that built in.
So it's net increase. That's Christy Weir. Okay, in mobility, do you only study cars, vehicles, or do you study the impact on walkability, bikeability, like multiple modes of transportation? Because, you know, we're always talking about vehicle miles traveled and cars. So how do you study all the other alternates?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Okay, and then dark sky, we're hoping to get dark sky in. I didn't see light, I saw noise on the list, and environmental impacts obviously are light pollution as well. So is that part of another topic? If we get the dark sky goals in there, I know a lot of new, I see from living above Ventura High, a lot of the new projects have very bright LEDs on them. We're not using the shielding that we're supposed to and all that. So is there a way to evaluate, if we have that goal in the general plan, how that's going to impact light pollution? And under what category would that be studied? Then I agree with Amy about the stormwater runoff. I don't know what category that would be included in, but we have a problem with flooding around here. So, like, what impact is new development, new transport, you know, new roads, whatever, going to have on stormwater and flooding? And then for looking at views and aesthetics and all that, so you got the 3,700 units, but what do you study in terms of heights and density? Is that based on what version of the land use map? You know, because right now it's in flux, I believe, the densities and the heights that we're looking at. So view impacts are going to obviously depend on heights. So I don't know where that comes in. Thank you.
Thanks.
Those are all really great questions. So the multiple modes of transportation, the short answer is yes, we do look at that. So we look at the city's active transportation plan and all existing city ordinances and regulations related to active modes of transportation and walkability, and make sure that the general plan doesn't conflict with those and that they would continue to promote all of that alternative transportation. And so that will be in the mobility section of the EIR. The dark sky evaluation, that one is going to be in the aesthetics section of the EIR, so we do evaluate that as well, looking at where the potential increases in a residential, commercial, what the existing light levels are there, and describe potential changes that could occur. But you're right, that there are ordinances in place to shield that and prevent that, so we'll look at those as well and see, okay, with what the city has already required with the new development, is there going to be a potentially significant cat still or not? So that's how that one goes. The stormwater and runoff and flooding, that's going to be evaluated in the hydrology section. So we will look at those general plan policies around stormwater and flooding, make sure they don't conflict with existing policies, and kind of the same, make sure that the existing policies that the city has now for construction and see if that's enough to reduce impacts less than significant. And then we also look at the policies related to climate change and sea level rise and flooding as well to evaluate that one. And then the last one for view aesthetic impacts. So that's gonna be in the aesthetic section for height. And how we evaluate that is look at, is there gonna be any potential impacts to, say, critical view sheds? So like here in Ventura, one is the view of the Channel Islands. Like, we know that that's high value, so we see, okay, where is the development going to be, what's existing height, what's proposed height, and could it have any potential impacts to those important public view sheds?
What heights are you evaluating? Because the general plan land use map now has different heights than previous, and that's sort of in transition, I believe, what's being looked at. So how do you know what heights to evaluate?
Yeah, we'll look at what that net increase in height could be under the general plan.
Right, so when we have that settled, that's when all of those evaluations occur. So there's preliminary evaluations that occur as they get started, and then as these various pieces get solidified, for example, a draft will go out of a variety of the elements, and we'll have additional comments from people, and things will shift. So as things shift, the EIR will also shift, and we'll look at what we need to shift based on how things change. So for now, as we get started, this month is really just looking at, okay, what do we want to look at? And then, you know, as that map gets more and more solid and we head towards the finish line of this project, those get adjusted. So for example, downtown, we know the goal is to keep the existing downtown specific plan in place. And so ultimately those heights are locked in, and it's something that we can look at, for example, or other areas where we know that's not going to shift, for example. And where it does shift, then that delta gets looked at. So I don't believe we can study the density bonus impacts. Is that correct? So you can't
account for
future...
Yeah, because we just don't know where they're going to occur. In terms of, like, a lot of times if we evaluate, say, if everyone got a density bonus, that would be a really high assumption, and that's not typically what we see. And so, yeah, it's, we don't typically evaluate that density bonus height, because we just don't have enough details, but those will be evaluated on that project level. For traffic, yeah, as well. That would have to be evaluated at the project level, because we just don't know where it's going to happen or occur.
My question is a follow-up to that, which is, are there statistics in your experience of how many density bonus projects there are, like 30% of proposed, or any statistics that would help you say, well, we can evaluate that 30% of the projects will probably have a density bonus, or do you not have that?
We don't typically do that. I'll write that down as a note, as a potential, potentially evaluating based on historic, like we've seen, if that data is available. That's a good comment.
Did anyone else want to speak, or we can just move on to more popcorn questions?
I do. Amy Cherry again. So I know there's going to be alternatives. These will hopefully be new alternatives, not the ones we've already turned down. Right, like, so in my head I was thinking, okay, at the beginning of the land use we have three alternatives, and I'm just hoping those ones we turn down aren't the alternatives for mitigation purposes, if that makes sense.
They are not.
Thank you. And just an ask, a lot of things in the coastal zone, can we have height counted as an elevation instead of a height?
Do you mind rephrasing that?
In the coastal zone, mm-hmm. Can we count height as the elevation instead of height? Because some projects... that are 35 feet, they're using, you know, the slope, so they're actually 59 feet, which they use elevation for height instead.
Okay, so you're saying evaluate the from like the sea level, like the mean sea level rise, or just sea level, and then that height of like a project?
Correct.
Is that what you mean?
Correct.
Yeah, I think at the general plan level, it doesn't typically get that specific, right? Like we look at for, right. If you're saying like height impacts due to aesthetics, we're going to be focused more on potential impacts to view sheds based on those heights. So I don't think that would necessarily come into play of like what that exact number is. It's more of like, is that height going to be blocking
right.
anything important throughout the city? So I think what you're saying, maybe like that number of feet, I think that's going to be more at the project level.
Okay. Or the LCP level.
She's like, something to think about.
Yeah. So since density bonus impacts aren't studied at the general plan EIR level, and you said that would be taken care of at the project level, does that mean projects will need to be evaluated environmental, like EIRs, if they weren't studied in the general plan?
So every project that comes in gets evaluated for CEQA purposes, and it may result in a kind of a range of answers, right? So there's, you know, statutory exemptions, categorical exemptions, in some cases an MND. We now, you know, they're already a full-blown EIR. We also have the SCIAs happening in our community as well. So it really is just going to depend on the project. I know what you're looking for here. But it's going to be on the project level, so we can't really get into each individual project and how we're going to evaluate that project. It's just going to happen on the project level. So we can really only speak today to the EIR for the general plan and not to project level EIRs. Any other questions or comments? And again, I think one thing to note both for people at home and for all of you in the audience, I'm sure once you leave, you'll think of 10 more questions. By all means, email me. I'm happy to answer the questions and not just take in your comments. So if you have questions, let me know. Sure, let me just finish my statement. And you have until May 31st of this month to put in any comments specifically related to that notice of preparation, which is also on our website. But I'll turn it back to you, Christy, with an additional question. No, it's okay.
I interrupted you. When we did the 05 general plan, the city council had this giant debate about the projected growth rate percentage. And we had, it was between 0.88% and 1.25. You remember that, Kathy? I mean, months and months and months of debate on which, what are we going to study? You know, are we going to study the 0.88% or the, and what are we going to put in the general plan for the projected percentage growth rate? Has that even been discussed or determined? It was, for the 05 general plan, it was 0.88% per year.
We did discuss this with council and touch base with them on how we would do growth projections. And I think that was a few months ago. And they didn't have this multi-meeting conversation about it. So I assume there was, but we generally looked at SCAG's growth projections, as Lexi mentioned earlier. It's around 1%. But again, I think I can give you the detailed number. It is a little bit less than one that SCAG also projected. Like I said, it's around one. I don't have the exact number on me. But again, I think, you know, this is where, as we look at SCAG's projections and kind of the reality, it was tweaked a little bit from SCAG. So we included additional ADU projections and things that SCAG didn't actually get into, interestingly. And also some projects that we know are coming through the pipeline or are almost finished, for example. So we added those in as well. But again, I think as we move forward, we use that as kind of the baseline. And again, I think the goal is that it's a little bit more than what is likely to happen through this process so that we look at kind of a most impactful scenario, but not so much so that we overplan for infrastructure too. So there is a balance there. Any other questions or comments?
That's what we're here for.
This is it. I don't think this is really a scoping question. It's so back in the day, they were going to try to accommodate for 3 RENA cycles. I don't know if that's part of the existing inventory that's available plus this 3,700. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah.
Okay. And then if it does include that, the next RENA cycle, is our growth going to be based off of that 3,700 and then what we already have and then have to add more? Or is it going to be okay to say we already accommodate for this number of units?
Well, it definitely depends on what our RENA numbers are next cycle, which I'm already bracing myself for, to be totally honest. So we in the past have planned for multiple RENA cycles. I believe that the council had actually requested that we not plan for 3 RENA cycles and that it be closer to 1 RENA cycle. And then what we have to do ultimately is it is more work, right? But that's okay. That's totally okay. And I think a lot of communities end up in this place where they don't plan for RENA times 3, for example, because again, that's not necessarily actually what may occur in the next cycles as well. We hope, right, that we don't get another number this high. It's certainly possible. It could go higher, it could go way lower. So we planned for 1 and we're going to have to reevaluate. So I think at the next, as we start with the next housing element, which really is around the corner, right, as soon as we're done with this process, we'll start. Yeah, I mean, we'll start again, right? Probably, let's say, in 5 years, really, to get started. We'll look at, you know, what the numbers are going to be and then see if we all, again, if we already have room for those units. And then we may not have to do more planning. But if we don't, then we will have to plan for those additional units. So let's say we're short another 1,000 units. So now we have to find places for those. We're doing things like rezoning, for example, and that's where we're able to reevaluate from an environmental standpoint. And it probably looks like either an addendum or a supplemental to the EIR down the road, or again, or not, or we find out that that was plenty and we did great, right? But there's always going to be reevaluation sooner than, you know, I think the state would anticipate us doing, because they would like us to just study out 25 years of growth, and we know that we want to be kind of more targeted for a shorter term. So anything else? This is really the last call. I wasn't going to cut you off.
It's not scooping, it's more housekeeping and scheduling.
Sure. No, absolutely.
Okay. Louise Lampera, you mentioned that the land use alternatives map is coming back out, another survey. I was wondering the timing of that. And then also you had mentioned open houses, office hours, so to speak. Will there be any additional outreach where you'll be going to, say, community council meetings or, different groups to get their input? And what's the overall schedule before there's a release of the draft general plan so that the public sees what policies there are going to be? Which will give a better idea, I think, of how to comment on the EIR when it comes out. And then the other question, the presentation, will it be available online, and will this meeting be recorded and online?
Thank you for those questions. So this meeting is being recorded. It will be online, and we'll have a link to that. It's also being shown on television right now. So hi, television people. Thank you for watching. So the map is, so a lot of those dates that you mentioned early on, what's happening next, are to be determined, so we can get through making the changes to the map. Once that happens, we'll put out the map. That will happen in June, but probably later in June, to give staff time to really go through. We had over 200 comments on the JOT form that are parcel specific, and then we had a number of letters from people that were more kind of global comments as well that we need to address. So once that's done, we'll put the map back out. It probably won't have the same format of commenting again, just because that was a bit cumbersome. We got a little of these in the audience, thank you. And so giving people another opportunity in a different way to look at it. we'll probably have that comment period open for another 30 days, and at that point we'll provide that to all the neighborhood councils so they can go back to their groups and really dive in and talk about it. We'll also have a GPAC meeting specific to the map again. We hadn't anticipated doing that, but I think based on the feedback, we need to have another conversation and another public forum for people to come in and comment. And that'll be during the public comment period for the map. So that's likely late July or August. It really depends. We're trying to fit it in with, we have a break with council, and I know a lot of people take that opportunity to go on vacation when they're involved, so we don't want it to be in that period. That being said, that's a much easier time for us to actually schedule a meeting since we don't have council meetings and some of our other meetings. But we'll put out a more formal schedule as soon as the map comes out with all of the additional dates. And that will also include when I have some office hours, when we'll have additional engagement, and then when we get to the community councils as well. So I'll have a list of, here's when we're gonna get on their agenda to present the map to say, hey, here's a changed map. We'd love to hear your comments, right? And give a forum within each of those community councils. And similarly, we'll have that follow-up GPAC meeting at that same, around that same time. The draft, skipping ahead a little bit, the draft general plan will be released to the public in November, right after the election. And again, you know, things change, but this is our goal, to get to that draft in November and then give people an opportunity to review the draft, again, provide comments. At that point, when we have the draft out, we'll also have a GPAC meeting about the draft during that comment period. So it'll give people the opportunity to come in person and talk about their comments, but also just to hear more about it. And, you know, people who aren't familiar may start showing up as we have a draft in place. That tends to happen. So kind of doing more education with the community about what's going on with the draft and getting those comments. Around the same time is when we also have the draft EIR coming out. So they'll basically come out at the same time. I can't imagine it's the exact same time for sanity purposes, but right around the same time we'll have those both out. And so you'll have comment period for general plan, comment period for EIR, and then that takes us into January, February of 2025, where we put out kind of the final draft after all the comments from the public draft are reviewed and considered, and then we'll start going to public hearings. So that will include going to Planning Commission as well as then going to City Council afterwards. And I imagine those will take a number of meetings to get through the content with each of those. So it'll again give people an opportunity to comment at Planning Commission and then comment again at Council, ultimately for Council adoption in spring 2025. Just that simple. But it is. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time. And I know people have said we want to get it right, and we do too. And I think that's the key thing, is that in going through this process, the key is, you know, we want to get this right and take it through the appropriate process to make sure that the community can weigh in as many times and at different moments as possible. So including today. So thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to our staff for being here. And thanks to Lexi and Rincon for this whole process. And if anyone has questions or comments, please contact me, and have a lovely evening. Thank you.